You have your Bibles. Turn with us, boy. I hope I get this word of God here. This sure don't go with what seems like how the service is going. Nevertheless, God knows more about than I do. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter. I have used this text before in the last month or two. You know, I just want to turn it and maybe go a little different direction. And I won't be long, Sister Kim, Sister Amanda, if we get something ready. Mark, the 14th chapter. There's a temptation here in my text. And how many knows we all are tempted? Giving in to the temptation is what they call sin. And so we don't have to. And this temptation I'm going to read to you is a temptation about money. And money is probably one of the main elements in our life. You know, and it will make or break you. A lot of folks cannot handle money. So let me read my text to you. The 18th verse of the 14th chapter. 17th verse. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, One by one, is it I? Another said, Is it I? You may be seated. Most of you remember the text a few months ago, and I just want to turn it here just a little bit. And I felt like in praying this morning and even this week, and the things that I've heard about, the things I've been involved with, it behooves each one of us to check into our own heart. Our nature is that we like to look to our neighbor, or even our husband or wife, or someone in the church. We want to judge ourselves by them.
Right.
And it is not wise to judge ourselves by either our husband or our wives, all right, or someone in the church. We judge ourselves according to the Word of God.
Yes.
For young folks, they say, I don't do as bad as they do. And they sing in the choir. So that is not a true judgment. It is a false judgment. We judge ourselves according to the Word of God. This, I know the primary intention here was to inform Judas, all right, that his betrayal was known. The Lord knew who it was going to betray him. So that was the primary intention, to warn him of his sin. And to move him to repent. But at the same time, it meant to reduce the self-importance that had taken hold on the rest, the other 11. Because they felt like, you know, they wanted to know which one was going to be the greatest among them. Now, any time that you think quite a bit of yourself, self-importance, it is a thing called pride. The only way to God is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
No big eyes and little ewes.
Right.
I don't mean that, Brother Ingram, and I know that I'm the pastor and there's a certain amount of reverence there.
Right.
But in God's eyes, I am not bigger than you. There's no self-importance in the work of God. Right. If there's any glory, the Lord gets all the glory.
Right. Yeah.
And so we must realize there's not one important here today.
Right.
Sad to tell you that commentary. We're not very important people. Amen. This text, I love it because it said, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? Now one by one, that means all 11 disciples, looked at one another and said, Is it I? So no matter where we're at on our spiritual ladder, we need to look into our own heart. And say, is there anything in here, Lord, that's not like you?
Right.
Is there anything in my heart that's displeasing you?
Right.
And let's go look at our neighbor this morning. Amen. Let's look at our own heart.
Right.
And if you've been saved 30 years, you're still a candidate. and looking in your own heart. Amen. It was to lead them to more humble and guarded views of themselves. And there is so much that is dark and pitiful and prone to evil in human nature that each had reason to fear that it might be him. The reason I got stirred up about this, and I've been stirred up for a month or so, I got stirred up the week before I come to Richland, Brother said, you wasn't there, but the Lord woke me up. And I say that in all reverence. I wake up a lot in the night. I can't sleep and all that, but you know when the Lord wakes you up, it's different. And he don't wake me up all the time or a lot, all right? But I knew he woke me up because I was wide awake. So I made my way here, and I looked at the situation of our church, all right? And I looked at some things going on in our movement and in other churches, and I was quite disturbed to understand and know that preachers that had been saved for a number of years and preached among us, all of a sudden they got caught in perversion. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They wasn't looking into their own heart. And that did not happen overnight. There's something been going on for months and probably years. And so we're all a candidate to look into our heart today. And especially young people, because the temptations are so great among us. Don't ever override your conscience. There's two meanings in temptation. Now listen, trial, sorrow, discipline, anything by which we are made to suffer. All right? But the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Amen. Them kind of temptations will make us stronger. We're going to be tried, amen, in them temptations. Nobody likes to be tried. Brother Danny, nobody likes to suffer. But in that, we are made, amen, men and women of God. He puts character in our life. Right. Sees what we're made of. Right. Are you going to fight? Are you going to give up or quit? Right. Amen. There's another temptation. All right? It is solicitation towards evil. A leaning downward to lower things. Now, I want to shock you here, but if God ever give you a conviction, now we know biblical convictions is in order for everybody. But I've seen folks get convictions in their heart and back up on them. All right? Now you can't do that with God. You can do that with me or somebody else, but you can't do that with God. If God give you a conviction, stick by it. I've got a conviction. If I was to tell you about it, you'd all think I was super self-righteous. But I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I'm not trying to be holier than thou, and I'm not better than you. But I know it will affect me if I give into that temptation. Huh? And I'd rather my evil not be spoken of, even though it might not be. All right, and when I said evil, that's what a lot of folks think that this is, and it's not. It's not sinful. I'm going to give you a little illustration so I don't confuse you here. All right? There was a fellow preached about riding go-karts. And the reason he preached, because he couldn't fit in one. Now, you can preach, and I don't mean to be funny. I'm going serious here. But you can preach against stuff you don't like doing. Or stuff you can't do. You hear me? Now, we can't argue over biblical convictions, but there's personal convictions we all have. And I don't want folks to talk about this. I'd just rather not do it. And that's my conviction. Because it'll hurt me with some folks. It's not sinful. All right, if it's sinful, most of y'all do it. Uh-oh, I got you wondering now. I don't think it's sinful. If I thought it's sinful, I'd bust my kids right between the eyes. You think I wouldn't? Would I, Judd? Would I, Dave? It's not sinful, all right? But I'm not going to do it. Because I don't want folks to think, and it don't bother me, don't faze me. It's probably something I really don't like to do anyway. Hello? There is a difference. All right? So, this leaning downward to lower things. All right, once you've got a conviction, you stick to it. And any time that you go backwards, for what you have felt in your heart, what you have been in life. What you have been in life, you stick to it. Because we got folks that ain't going backwards. They're not staying true to their convictions. And I get tore up over perversion in our churches. Perverted men and women and boys and girls that sing in our choirs, that go to our church every service. I'm not talking about people that don't go to church. I'm talking about people trying to enter churches right now. Man, oh man. I felt like in my heart and praying, hang on. I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost. I felt it praying. Hey, man, this week, I felt like that some of the experiences that you have right now in this church house, member of Blue Springs Church of God, that if you don't get a deeper walk with God, you're not going to be with us much longer. Because you're not inspecting your own heart. You're listening to everybody else. You're looking at everybody else. And you didn't inspect your own heart. I don't want to lose you this morning. There's a part of my heart that's breaking. Because if you don't get close to God, you ain't going to be with us much longer. Quit playing church. Quit coming and going as you please, when you want to, if you want to. You get serious for serving God, or you're not going to be in this house much longer. I don't want you to be rebellious. But if your mom and dad ain't living to the Word of God, you can live by the Word of God. Amen. Now listen. In this sense, God tempts no one. He calls men upward. And when they choose the lower in the test and in the crisis, it is sin. I need to say it again. Listen, God tempts no one. He calls men upward. He calls men upward. I want to ask you, are you growing in grace? Are you closer to God than you've ever been? Are you stale? Or are you going backward? And don't admit it. Well, man. I wish we'd made that altar call, sister. Hey, man. I want to tell you something. Boy, if you don't know I love you, you're missing it. I love you with everything in me. And you want to break a preacher's heart or a mom and daddy's heart? You get involved, amen, with this world. And then you start going backwards, it will not be long. All right, you won't pay the consequences of sin. Right. God calls men upward. Not downward. Not backward. Revival was wonderful. Well, it changed our church, it changed me. All right, but we need another revival. Because since then, I've seen some of you get a little lukewarm. You're going to church. How many of the churches in Revelation was all churchgoers? All seven churches. What happens if you're lukewarm? What happens if, listen, you're at youth camp, you're shouting, you just got filled with the Holy Ghost, you're speaking in tongues, the Spirit gives utterance. Huh? And now it don't affect you or bother you that you don't do none of the above. You're going backwards. You're going lower. You're losing ground. You know what you need to do this morning? Inspect your own heart. Lord God in heaven, you're more interested in dating. You're more interested in the March Madness. Oh, get quiet on me. You know more about that than you do the Bible. Singing the songs of Zion. Yeah. Come on here, young folks. I love you when I preach like this. I love you. You hear me? I'm going to tell you, there ain't no sin. Maybe sin, who's winning? But if it's your God, you're going backwards. Hope mom and dad don't encourage it. Because they're going backward. It is carnal and it is not spiritual. But Seth, you was right. It's not a God. You don't have to be sin. You hear me? What makes a sin is being a God to you. Man, oh man. I got a long ways to go, and I'm done out of time. Esther, the third chapter. This is what the Bible says. And the king's servants, which were in king's gate, said to Mordecai. I use this. I don't mind telling you, brother. Which I preached this at Dry Road a few weeks ago. I knew in my heart there's somebody there that needed this. You hear me? Now listen, I don't get touched by God every time I preach. I don't feel the anointing of God. When He touches you, Brother Barry, it's for a reason and purpose. Not just so you feel good. He's reaching for somebody. He's just speaking to somebody's heart. You need to look on the inside of your own heart today, this morning. Am I where I need to be with God? Am I going backwards? Am I as close as I was during revival? Am I as close as I was at youth camp? I ain't got time to read it all. Mordecai would not bow. You know why he wouldn't bow? Because God would exterminate him. You hear me? It was against. Now listen, I ain't got time to go in all to all of it. All right. They were typical, and there was a group of people in the Bible that God said, exterminate them. All right. They had been typical of the old flesh life. And God said, exterminate them. And Mordecai knew if he bowed, he would be bound to the old flesh life. You hear me? Yeah. If I ever need to preach, I need to preach right here. Don't you trust your flesh. Don't you give in to your flesh. There's nothing good in our flesh. It'll mislead you. It'll guide you. We've got to do the opposite. All right? Giving in to our flesh. Amen. Giving it up to the Spirit, to the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost guide us. Let the Holy Ghost lead us. Let the Holy Ghost intercede on our behalf. Woo! Young folks, you might not understand everything that I'm preaching. Amen. But I want to tell you, you got to let the Lord help you this morning. Let the Holy Ghost intercede on your behalf. You're going down a road that's going to be destruction. Amen. Now listen. He refused to bow to the old flesh life. Because in the scripture, God said that He would exterminate them. And that's the reason that he would not bow. You cannot bow to your flesh life. Here's what our attitude must be as a child of God. We tease. I like humor. I like to have fun. Y'all know me, I do. I'm about as serious as I've been this morning. If we're going to lose somebody, you don't inspect your own heart. I'm not inspecting your heart today. I'm like the Holy Ghost is. This must be our attitude. And I feel like every one of us need this experience when it comes to our flesh. 17th chapter of Genesis. This is what the Bible says. Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. That is a sign of humility. I'm involved in a lot of stuff. Not much involved in the fire conference. Just know all the people. Ministers meeting and other things. And I've seen people get exalted in how God was using them. And get lifted up. Of course, it's not what everybody thinks it is. But it's that. You just go behind the scenes, you'll find out. There's no glory in it. But I'm going to tell you something. Young folks, don't get exalted.
in yourself.
I see, I'm using a term here, I don't know how to do it, say it any clearer, but I see a term where our young folks is strutting. Showing their self off. Wearing things that draws attention to your body. They're not short. You've got long sleeves. They're so tight you can't hardly walk. Our shirts are so tight we want to flex. We're hung up on old self. You hear me, young folks? I'm preaching to our young folks because I love them. We got a bunch of them. I'm trying to keep them out of the fire. You stop that strutting and showing your stuff and buying clothes that draws attention to yourself. And if you're doing it, Mom and Daddy, you need rebuked. You hear me? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you better ask the question today before we lose you. Is it I? Is it I? No, I'm not pointing my finger. Oh no, I ain't got no finger to point. I'm preaching to this congregation. You hear me? And I know I'm preaching to some young folks. You need to ask in your heart, is it I? Sure. You're one of the disciples. But God intended not just for Judas to recognize his sin, but he'd give warning to the other 11 disciples. You think you're so great? You need to inspect your own heart and life. And this morning, everyone in the house, I'll inspect your own heart and life, or you'll be like that preacher who's been preaching 30 years. Go do something perverted. Man, I'm telling you, it tears me up. I can't hardly take it, Brother Larry. Preachers that preach in our pulpit, I'm acquainted with, it goes off and do something so silly. You hear me? And, there's so much pain when things like that happen with family and the people it happens to. It takes God only that they can recover on some of the sins that's going on in our churches. In our churches, religious people. Don't ever get away from this text, young people. Don't ever get away from it. I got to read this again. You hear me? Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. The only way to God is humility, not arrogance. Not because of how much money we have, what our name is, who we know. And Brother Tim, I know y'all probably don't believe I have a hard time not being political. Because they so many want you to be. Yeah. A lot of you don't understand that. I try my best. It's a hard job not to be political. And I want to tell you something, you folks. You need this preaching, whether you'd ever admit it or not. Right. Check into your own heart. Is it I? Huh? If Mom and Dad has to do it, fall on your face and let the Lord talk to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let God talk to you. Yes. Let's stay in the Lord's house. But Jamie, they might not like it. They cannot go away saying, I don't know them. I'm trying to keep them out of hell. Listen, I'm trying to keep you from sowing your wild oats. You hear me? I'm trying to keep you from sowing your wild oats. Yes, you don't have to sow your wild oats. You don't have to see what sin's all about. You can come back home. You'll come scarred. You'll come and the devil will torment you the rest of your life over your past. How many of those are what I'm talking about? Our past sins. The devil will bring them up to us. People will. People trying to find fault in you. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to have that baggage. Huh? If you'll keep yourself pure.
That's right.
You don't have to have that sowing your wild oats. And I heard a preacher say, it's all right if they go sow their wild oats. I rebuke that preacher in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not okay to sow your wild oats.
Right.
Because so many of you will not come home.
That's right. Will not come back. Praise you, Jesus.
You only knew how much I wanted you to go to heaven. I'm trying to keep you out of hell.
Praise you, Jesus.
You're listening. I know we probably should have went on a while ago. God knows what he's doing, Sister Esther.
That's right.
I'm going to reach it for somebody today. It's not going to be long, and you're not going to be with us. You don't like this preaching. You're going to rebel against this preaching. Huh? You say, I don't need that kind of preaching. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. Dads, look at me. Did I tell them right this morning?
Yes. Yes.
Don't raise your hand if I did. I want to see your hand. Did I tell them right?
Yes.
Did I have a bad spirit? I've seen them preach with bad spirits. I ain't got one. My heart's broken, Sister Mary. Because our young folks need to get back on the rock.
Yes, amen.
I'll tell you what I want. I don't want just two or three to come. Just so, because I don't want to embarrass you. And I don't want to point you out. That's the biggest fear the devil uses. What are they going to think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, right now, I don't care what anybody thinks. I think the way to do it is just all our young folks come.
Yes.
And say, is it I? Come on. Will you come? Young folks? And I want something else. I want moms and dads and parents to come up behind them. You know if kids are struggling or not. Come on. Bethany, good to have you and your husband. Thank you for coming. I forgot to mention you. We're glad you're here. Come on.
Satan's lies. God's hand is still on your life.
Just to get.